Thanks for it. Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 will begin in verse 1. It says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest profit me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah say, or prophesy to you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now that's a mouthful, and we looked at that a couple of weeks ago, just briefly got started. The last time we were together, last week, Brother Stacy filled in for me, and I appreciated that. Had a really good opportunity. I'll tell you real quick why I was gone. A church ministry in Lubbock was having a Mother's Day banquet for a lot of single mothers. Mothers that didn't have old enough children to honor them, or a husband or somebody to honor them on Mother's Day. And so that banquet was set up for them, and Trish and I just went and served and contributed in that way to it. I thought it was a neat deal. It's really special. A lot of ladies that otherwise might not have gotten honored on Mother's Day. So that's where we were. So with that being said, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. As amazing as it may be, what started out centuries and centuries before this, as God's plan for establishing righteousness of his people, had now become to the Pharisees and the scribes a system that was more concerned about covering up sin than it was about exposing sin and cleansing it. So let's read verse 2 again. They asked this question to Jesus antagonistically, okay? Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? Now you see, they're readily admitting, even by their verbiage used here, that with their question, they're admitting that what they're objecting to is the disciples' violation of their tradition. It doesn't even say violating God's word. And the reason for that is because they had, at this point, they had developed the mindset that their traditions was superior to Scripture. And here was the reasoning behind that. Centuries and centuries of rabbis had gone in and read God's law and interpreted. And so in their mind, that law having been interpreted multiple times over the centuries by great minds, they thought, that interpreted law would be more enhanced, more specific, more precise, if you will, than even God's word. See, they thought it was an improvement upon God's word. And so they developed, we've talked about this many times before, the Talmud was a multi-volume compilation of those traditions and those interpretations. It was volumes of literally thousands of traditions or little rules and little ideas of how things had to be done that had developed over the century, and these regulations had just put a big burden and really put man under bondage, many of them even contradicting the law, inconsistent with the law a lot, and in some cases contradicting the law. And so what had become really the go-to book was not the Bible, but the Talmud, these interpretations. That's what that's what it had come to. And that Talmud was really, instead of leading people to worshiping and serving God from a clean heart, it really made it possible for human beings to, if they had enough discipline, to carry out all of these little rules and these regulations and these ceremonies and all that they had compiled, and not have a change of heart at all, not even know God. If they were disciplined enough, they could, all this outward behavior could be done, and that would be that was the center of their focus. Is you do this and you don't do that. It's out like the washing of the hands here, okay? But it just dealt with the exterior, what was being seen, and it never targeted the heart. And so that's why the scribes and Pharisees are taking issue here with Jesus' disciples not washing their hands. They're not even concerned about the hearts of the disciples. 11 out of those 12 disciples were born again, maturing believers. Their lives had changed drastically over the time they had walked with Jesus, and that was of little concern to the Pharisees or the scribes at all. They're concerned about, are these guys washing their hands? And that's the way legalism works, okay? And so it was the outward actions of the disciples that caught their attention. We'll read in verse 3 now. It says, "But he," Jesus, "answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" So before answering the Pharisees' charge, Jesus countered them with a question. Not denying that the disciples had, in fact, violated their traditions. He doesn't even address that right now. He's gonna explain all that down the road a little ways, okay, and we'll see it later. But instead, he just dismisses their question as irrelevant and asks them another question. And beginning in verse 4, he says, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth his father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father and his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest profit by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." Jesus is saying, you totally wiped out one of our commandments. The fifth commandment, of course, is honor thy father and thy mother, the fifth of the ten, okay? Jesus is saying, you guys just wiped out commandment number 5 with your traditions, okay? And honor thy father and thy mother, by the way, is not just that we should respect honor and mother, but the scripture makes it clear that it's the actions we take towards our parents, caring for our parents, meeting the needs of our parents, especially when they're elderly and this sort of thing. That was part of the intent of the commandment, was to be there for your parents in their times of need, okay? However, the religious Jews at this point, with their interpretations and their traditions, had created a loophole for themselves to get around that fifth commandment and not have to take care of their older parents, okay? It's hard to imagine they would even desire to do that. But the tradition that they created kind of goes like this. They would make a vow that all of their possessions were committed to God. And in other words, it's all at your disposal, God. Everything is yours, okay? I'm committing all that I have, lock, stock, and barrel. And then if a parent was to come to them in need, it's hard to believe this, but this is what I studied out and understood by several commentators, or I say several, John MacArthur primarily. But the parents ask for the child in need, and the child basically saying the funds aren't available because they're dedicated to God. You see, that was their intent, was to protect their funds by just saying it's dedicated to God and it's at his disposal, so I can't help you. Now, how much sense does that make when God says, honor thy father and thy mother? But this is what they did. It's crazy. It's hard to imagine such a blatant disregard for God's word, but that's how bad it had become with all these traditions, okay? Their selfishness, the selfishness of that kind of tradition, tells the kind of hearts that were being developed through these centuries of interpretations by the rabbis, okay? But Jesus doesn't mince words about it. He goes on in verse 7. He says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah say of you, or prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Jesus says, your hearts are not right. those traditions that were made by men were made so they could be kept by men. And they think about it. It doesn't require faith to check a box, right? It doesn't require trust to go down light item rules and regulations and make sure you're obeying them. It doesn't take that, okay? It doesn't take dependence upon God to dot all your I's and cross all your T's, right? Everybody can do that. Well, that was what they liked about their traditions, was it appeals to their flesh. It feeds pride and feeds self-righteousness when you can say, yeah, look at all of these rules I obey. Look at all of these ceremonies I maintain, and look at my commitment. My commitment is evident by my ability to jump through all these hoops. And that really and truly is what was being accomplished. And in actuality, it was all lip service. In truth, it was, there was no heart service involved. There was no God changing them from within and making them want to do these things, want to accomplish certain acts of service or whatever, but really it was just done out of lip service and look what I can do, look at myself, okay? And so only, you've got to keep in mind that God's word has always targeted the heart. When we get back in the Old Testament and the law, we tend to kind of think, well, it was a bunch of rules and regulations. Yes, it was. God had his laws for purposes, but the target was always the heart. God's word is always targeting the heart. He doesn't want mechanical, robotic servants doing rules and regulations. He wants a changed heart to recognize the purpose of those laws and those ceremonies or whatever, and recognize them and want to do them out of a love for him. That's what he wants to accomplish. And only a forgiven heart that's been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ can really and truly worship God in spirit and truth, as the scripture says. Unless we've had that transformation take place in our heart, the person who's trying to claim that their life belongs to God is really a hypocrite without the heart change. And that's what Jesus calls them very, very emphatically there. The person trying to claim that their life belongs to God but doesn't have a changed heart is a hypocrite, and Jesus says it. Now, they don't have a chance of pleasing God, and here's something else. They don't have a chance of going to be with God in heaven. Without a changed heart, without a redeemed soul, there is no heaven. I want to ask you, if you will, if you'll turn back just a few pages, hold your thumb there, we'll come back to this in just a moment. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. We've studied this a long time ago, but we'll read this verse once again. And really, after having studied what we've just studied, it maybe enlightens this verse just a moment, a little bit more for us. Okay, verse 20. Jesus says, "For I say unto you," watch this now, "except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribe, of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, those are the words of Jesus. The righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, they thought they were it. They thought they, because of all of their jumping through hoops and all their rules and all their, again, dotting their I's and crossing their T's spiritually, they thought they had it made. They were really in with God. And Jesus says you don't even belong to him. Because if you belong to him, you'd be going to heaven. Okay? And he says they're hypocrites. Okay? That is nothing more than self-righteousness. And unless, as Jesus says here in chapter 5 and verse 20, unless our righteousness exceeds that kind of self-righteousness, it's a no-go, he says. You don't have a place in heaven. You don't have a relationship with God. The only way that can be accomplished is by grace through faith. And then when that takes place, as the Bible teaches, the heart changes. And with the heart change comes better behavior. Better behavior is done motivated by a love for God and a desire to fulfill His word rather than a regimen and a bunch of rules and regulations. So Jesus knew that this is not what they were interested in. They had no desire to hear what God's word said. They were more concerned about their traditions. And so he ends up, and we'll finish with this. Verse 9, back in our text, he says, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You know what he's saying there? When he used that term worship, it implies devout religion. They had a devout religion, okay, no heart change. And he's saying, your way of serving me, your devout ways are nothing more than legalistic, man-centered approach to God. And he says, it's in vain. What does vain mean? It's empty. It's fruitless. It's a waste is what he's saying. Okay? And they were substituting, as he says here in verse 9, their commandments, the commandments of men, their traditions, they were substituting for doctrines. What a doctrine means, the teachings of God. Okay? They were saying, here's all these things you got to do. Here's how it has to be done. By the way, disciples, you need to be washing your hands. I'm appalled that you're not able to wash your hands before the meal. This is what they're saying. And they're saying, because that's what God teaches. And that's not it at all. I wish I'd have taken time. I read a few things, and I didn't make notes of it. But about the whole purpose of the hand washing. There were some teachings in the scripture about the washing of hands, okay, but it's nothing near what they're talking about here. Different examples of rabbis, how absurd they became. They when one was starving but had no water, they would use the water to wash their hands so they could eat before they would drink it. See what I'm saying? It's just ridiculous. Just strain it a gnat and swallow a camel, so to speak. Okay. With that being said, let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed. I appreciate you guys very much. Hope you have a good remainder of the week, and thank God for the rain. Maybe we'll just continue to get some more. And pray for our time together this Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Okay. Landon, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?